This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون إن في هذا لبلاغًا لقوم عابدين وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين Sadaqallahu al-Azim. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, many of you may not be aware, but October is a month which is dedicated to the issue of the awareness of domestic abuse. And it's very fitting that in the media we hear about people that are in the highest or aiming to be in the highest offices of the country, and they are proudly bragging of their exploits related to abuse of women, and yet it is being accepted by some segments of society as being just locker room talk. The reality is that abuse of women is prevalent in society. And within a domestic setting, in the relationship of husband and wife, this is also becoming prevalent. And unfortunately, within the Muslim community, it is something that is not addressed, that is not talked about, that is swept under the rug, and even women who are the victims of such abuse, they are afraid to or don't want to talk about it and address the issue. And they become victims of this cyclical abuse, and it's basically a vicious circle that never ends. Not only women. Inshallah, we'll hear some statistics later about the prevalence of domestic abuse, but also men have become the victims of domestic abuse. So again, this is also a statistic, and men, because of their, you know, their so-called strength, psychological or physical, it seems shameful for them to even disclose this to other people. But the reality is, this is also prevalent within communities, and again, something that should be addressed. I just recited a few verses for you from Surah Al-Anbiya, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذِكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that in the Zabur, Allah has declared that the pious people, they will inherit the earth. إِنَّ فِي هَذَا لَبَلَاغًا لِقَوْمٍ عَبِدِينَ. This is a message for people who are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the main point that I want to come to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Prophet of Allah, we only sent you as a mercy for the world. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in all of his actions, we see that he was merciful, he was gentle, and he tried his best to be lenient to the people around him, even those that persecuted him and tortured him and gave him a hard time and cursed him and made slander against him. The Prophet ﷺ was very cautious and hesitant to say anything against such people. There were some instances that we can find in the seerah that the Prophet ﷺ, after displaying such patience, he did make dua against certain factions of society, and I'd just like to mention them. The Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, one day he became so upset with how the Quraysh had dealt with him that he made a dua against the Quraysh. So this was one instance. The second incident that we find, that the Prophet ﷺ, he sent a letter to the ruler of Persia, Khusro, and Khusro, he took the letter and ripped it into shreds. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, they will also be torn apart as a nation, meaning this person who has torn up my letter, his kingdom will also be torn apart. This was a dua that he made against Khusro at the time. And then the biggest enemies of the Prophet ﷺ were the ones that at one time had been closest to him. And they became the people that gave the Prophet ﷺ the hardest of times. And on one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ, he made dua against all of them. He made dua against Abu Jahl. Oh Allah, deal with Abu Jahl. Oh Allah, deal with Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Oh Allah, deal with Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, Walid ibn Utbah, Umay ibn Khalaf, and Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt. He made dua against all of them. So these were the rare instances where the Prophet ﷺ, he moved out of his normal habit, and he made dua against such people that had been giving him a hard time. But there is another incident that took place in which the Prophet ﷺ made a dua against one particular person. And I'd like to highlight that, and this is related to the topic that we're discussing today. It's mentioned, a riwayah which is found in Bazaar and also briefly mentioned in Bukhari. Imam Bukhari mentions it in a chapter which deals with the issue of Raful Yadayn. Raful Yadayn meaning the raising of the hands in Salat. The discussion is narrated by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that the wife of a man in Medina came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining of her husband. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about her case and said to her, go back and tell him that I am in the messenger of Allah's protection. meaning the Prophet ﷺ has taken it upon himself to protect me. So she went back and told him the message that the Prophet ﷺ had given her. And then she came back after a while. She said, he hasn't stopped yet and he hasn't left me alone. He's still beating me. So the Prophet ﷺ, he took his shirt, he ripped a piece of his shirt and he gave it to this woman and said, take this piece of shirt and give it to him as proof that this message came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and I'm not making this up. This is a serious issue and he needs to stop because I am in the protection of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She went back, gave him this piece of shirt, and then came back again after a while and said that he still has not stopped beating me. At this point, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he raised his hands and he made a dua against the person, the perpetrator, whose name was Walid, and made a dua, Allahumma alayka bil Walid. Allahumma alayka bil Walid, meaning, oh Allah, Walid is in your hands, you take care of him. Take care of this person who is beating his wife. Just imagine whose dua this is. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who is regarded as rahmatul lil alameen, he is making a dua against a perpetrator of domestic abuse. Just imagine how that dua is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we want to become the victims of such a dua, of a punishment which is a result of such a dua? And if the Prophet ﷺ was alive and he saw what we were doing, would he be pleased with us, or would he give us such a dua against us? This is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Although domestic abuse is prevalent in our communities too, but this is not a statistic that is, you know, it is not found in the world at large. There are very alarming statistics. At least one woman in every three has been beaten in her lifetime, or she's been forcefully being the victim of a person's, a person trying to force himself upon her, as we see in the incident that has been mentioned in the media over and over again, that a man tries to force himself upon women, or otherwise abused in her lifetime. So one in three, it's such a huge number. 33% of women have been abused in such a way, or will be abused in such a way in their lifetime. Just imagine your sisters. Just imagine your daughters. Just imagine even your wives. They could become the victim, if not by you, then by somebody outside, could become the victim of such abuse. So this is not something that we can shun and not think about and say that it's not going to happen to me. There is always a chance that somebody close to us could become the victim of such abuse. Another statistic, and again, the most often, the abuser, the one who is the perpetrator of the crime, usually is a member of her own family. So this shows how important it is to make sure that there are safeguards in place, that a person cannot just trust any person of his family with his children, with his daughters, with his sisters, somebody who could be a victim of such abuse. It is important that we do not let our, you know, females be alone with a male member of the family. However close that member is of our family, it is something that safeguards and barriers have to be put in place, and we cannot just take this thing easily and think that it's not going to happen to any of our family members. 12 million women, or 25% of the female population, will be abused in their lifetime. 12 million women will be abused in their lifetime. and up to 35% of women and 22% of men, which I alluded to earlier, that 22% of men will be presenting themselves to the emergency department and have experienced domestic violence. Okay, these are the ones that actually go to the emergency after injury. But think of the ones that maybe are not so injured, maybe they haven't been hurt so badly, but still they are victims of domestic abuse and they do not move forward, they do not complain to authorities. When the number that comes to the emergency department is 35% of women and 22% of men, just think of others that do not disclose themselves, how high the number would be. So abuse is not exclusive to a gender, age group, ethnicity, national origin, but as a community, we need to discuss this issue and try to come to terms with it and try to resolve it and put systems into place to first of all prevent this kind of abuse and then if it is taking place to help the victims that are part of that abuse. So there are different levels of abuse. First and foremost, this is the most prevalent is the physical abuse, that a person, man or woman, raises his or hands against their domestic partner, their husband or wife. And more often in our culture, it is more often the man which raises his hands against the woman. So when this is the case, and you ask them for proof, why do you do that? One of the verses that is put forth is الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seemingly gives permission for the man to beat his wife. But this is not something that is clear cut. It is not something that can be taken at face value. There's an explanation for it. First and foremost, the issue of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it. Allah says, وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنْ فَعِظُهُنْ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنْ فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. There are three steps that are mentioned in this particular verse. When a man, he feels that the woman is being disobedient, then first and foremost, the advice is given and the man is supposed to talk to her and advise her. And this is the first stumbling block that most men have. Men, they stumble up at this very first step. Why? Because most men, they give the women the silent treatment. And they shut up and they close themselves off. And the woman doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know why she's getting the silent treatment, why her husband is being quiet and hasn't talked to her for days. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عِظُوهُنْ, talk to them. Once you talk and clear things and they are in the air and everybody has aired his views and grievances, then that lightens the load immediately. And then the woman, she will pay attention to the advice that is given and then she will not do the things that her husband is telling her not to do. This is the first step, but again, the men stumble up at this very first step. The second step, وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, leave their beds, meaning do not have intimacy with them, and that is the second indication, the second step after the first step that is taken. And even some scholars go as far as to say that the bed is not to be left, but within the bed, intimacy is not to be shown to the wife, so she realizes that there is something wrong. Obviously, if the advice has already been given, she should know what is wrong. And then the last step is mentioned, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ. And then the word is ضَرْب, then punish them. But this punishment should be understood in the context how the Sahaba understood it. And when the Sahaba were asked about this verse, they said that it refers to ضرب غير مبرح, that kind of hitting that does not leave a mark. And then by way of example, they used to say, like with a tooth stick. Anybody have seen a miswak? Small stick, which is like about 4 or 5 inches long. If somebody hits you with it, what kind of punishment is that? So even to understand what the basis is of that punishment, it is not abuse. Rather, it's an indication and a hint to the wife that the next step will be, if the situation is not resolved, then the next step will be divorce. It is not, the purpose is not abuse. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned this so many times in different situations, like we saw in the incident that I've just mentioned. And on occasion, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you are the best to your families, and I am the best to my family. And there is never a record of the Prophet ﷺ ever raising his hand against any of his wives, even though he was married, according to some, 9 times, according to some, up to 13 times. But the Prophet ﷺ never raised his hand to any of his wives. So when the Prophet ﷺ is giving himself and showing himself by way of example, then we need to follow in his footsteps. And again, going back to this verse, it is not how many people understand it. And the question that I would have for such people that use the verse as proof is that the rest of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, are you so particular to fulfill all of those commandments? Or are you just focusing in on this commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and then misunderstanding it also? And that's unfortunately what has happened to us. We are pick and choose Muslims. We pick and choose what we like and what we want to do. What we find is pleasing to us, and something that we want to do, we will choose it. And the thing that we don't want to do, we will reject it and not practice it. Going back to this same verse again, there are different opinions of the scholars about it. According to Atha, one of the greatest scholars of the Quran, he says that the word ضرب that is mentioned in the Quran, it does not mean anything physical. It means simply for a man to show his anger to his wife. Not more than that. Not even hitting, not even with a miswak, according to the opinion of Atha, one of the greatest mufassirs of the Quran. The second opinion from the scholars is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted it was only after a series of conditions are met as a way of restricting already rampant abusive behavior that was prevalent in the society at the time. It was to prevent people from engaging in abuse that was prevalent at the time already, and only after certain steps have been met, like I've mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. The third opinion about this verse is that it is only for the people who have authority of the state to inflict such a punishment. Within the household, this punishment does not apply. Rather, the state, the Muslim state, will be the one that gives that punishment to the wife. It is not the responsibility of the husband. This is again one of the opinions. So we can go on and on about this verse, but for the most part, it is not how some people have understood it. It is not how some people have understood it. We need to go back, ask our scholars what these verses mean, and then implement what they tell us. The next step of abuse that takes place is not physical abuse, it's rather emotional abuse. And that can be done by neglecting the needs of our loved ones. Neglecting either the physical, meaning the material needs of our loved ones, or even the physical needs of our loved ones. Material needs, it's the responsibility of the husband, the father, to provide for the children, for the husband to provide for the wife, to provide a roof, to provide clothing, to provide food. It is the responsibility, the sole responsibility of the husband. And this is one interpretation of الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that the men are responsible for women. It means that they're responsible for these things. They are supposed to look after the women and take care of them. So this neglecting the women and the children in this respect, it's a form of emotional abuse. By raising our voices, when we become angry, making a scene in front of the children, becoming angry and shouting at our wives in front of the children, basically terrorizing our children also, it is something that is a form of emotional abuse. And also, by being demeaning, condescending, insulting, even though we're not shouting, but saying things in a sarcastic way, complaining about our wife's cooking, for example, and complaining about other things, about our wives in a condescending way, which is not shouting, but still insults that rub off over time and become a form of emotional abuse. All of these things are kinds of abuse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ مُعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Rush towards maghfirah from your Lord, and a Jannah whose width is the width of the heavens and the earth, which has been prepared for the people of taqwa. Who are the people of taqwa? Those people that spend, whether they are in a good situation or a bad situation, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they swallow their anger. They swallow their anger, and they are forgiving towards people. And more often than not, the anger that we have from outside, we got a ticket from outside from the policeman, we take the anger out on our wife. The boss at job gave us a hard time and threatened to fire us, we come back and we are angry at our wife. Why not be angry at the boss himself? See if he fires you immediately or not. But we don't dare to do that. We take this anger out at the people that are weaker than us and the people that we have control over. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people that swallow their anger and they are forgiving to the people around them, these are the people of taqwa, then we have to ask ourselves, do I swallow my anger? Am I forgiving to my wife and my children? Or am I always giving them a hard time? The khutbah was actually a little bit more lengthier, but inshallah, I hope that the message has been given, the message has been delivered, the importance of making sure that as Muslims, we are not perpetrators of this crime against the other in our lives, the husbands to their wives, and also wives to their husbands should not be abusive. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من قعد وقام وصلي على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى الملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم آتنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة، وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في فلسطين وفي كشمير وفي سوريا وفي الهند وفي باكستان وفي العالم كله، واجعلنا من الذين يجاهدون في سبيلك حقا ولا يخافون فيك لومة لائم. آمين يا رب العالمين، آمين يا رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Stand wide to the nose, sukkim ya rahimkum Allah. Straighten the lines, close the gaps, make sure the line's straight. Heels on the line, stand shoulder to shoulder.